Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 5th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor and giant fan, I'm presuming.
You're correct.
Ryan Sundberg, yeah. Yeah. Well, we got a game coming up in a couple of hours, so.
I like it. Yeah. We're in the playoffs.
Yeah. I like the way the Raiders did a little stomping on Baltimore, too. Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. They're undefeated no longer.
Yeah, yeah. We won't talk about that other team that didn't quite have the same success.
Oh, what other team?
All right. Our quote this morning comes from A.S. Neal. Take from others what you want, but never be a disciple of anyone. Probably could have used that when you went to your meeting, huh?
Yeah.
A little bit here, a little bit there. I would imagine when you get together at the state level, now that you're what, you're four plus?
Five, I think. Five.
I don't know when we start counting anymore.
2010 is when I started.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're year six then.
I think I'm going through year five.
Okay.
Almost to six.
You're kind of getting into the, I've been here longer than you, part of the crowd. That 50% that's had a little bit more experience.
Well, I've made it that long?
When you get together in some of the meetings and stuff, how do you deal with the fact that you're now seen as somebody who knows a lot of stuff about these things instead of the guy asking the questions to find out about some of the stuff you don't know about?
I have never thought about that before. That's pretty interesting. Let's see.
See, I could say, how do you handle aging? And that might, you know, kind of the same thing, but it's not quite as focused.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess it's not really that pronounced that I, you know, there's some new people and there's me, and I just figure I kind of fit in where I fit in. So I don't know. I guess some people would think it was a big deal if you're there longer, but the way I look at it is everybody has their own experience. And, you know, even when I was new, I didn't feel like I didn't know anything, you know, there wasn't anything that I couldn't go find out and know just as much as the next guy. So,
but you certainly have expertise in some areas now, mm-hmm. that not everybody does. The transition from being somebody who's looking for answers to somebody who others perceive have the answers is just a weird juxtaposition. Because your references, you know, most of our references are back to when we didn't know, and we kind of get locked in there instead of getting caught up with, yeah, I know everything.
Yeah, I guess there's, you know, the last thing I'd want to do is throw that in someone's face, because I've, you know, there's some people that do that and it's no fun. So I'm pretty careful about that. But yeah, I guess what it does do is it makes the job easier the more time goes by, because you don't have to go look everything up. And, you know, when I first got our packets for Tuesday's meetings, you know, they come out on Friday afternoon and you have to be ready for Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it would take me forever to read those things. You know, I mean, I would read all weekend long. And as time goes by, you figure out what you really have to read deeply and what you can skim over. And so that definitely becomes a lot easier, you know, because there's so many things that the county does that, I mean, you learn that, oh, I didn't know they did that. I better
generalist,
go check in
this.
Generalist,
I believe, is the phrase, right?
Yeah.
Rather than a master. Yeah.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, I think it's kind of challenging sometimes, you know, as we talked a little bit in the first segment about trying to kind of grasp all the things and kind of get a sense of what's where. When you get into the maze of social services, whether it's dealing with eviction, I guess, standards of living, things of that nature, homelessness, all those types of things, or some of these other programs that we've heard a lot about over the years. You know, CASA is one that we hear about. It's more run through the DA's office than it is through DHHS, but okay, fine. You know, the Health and Human Services has something in that equation also. We're dealing with the mental folks in the hospital, and they're getting involved. You'd shared that one of your more recent gatherings, foster care, came up. Yeah, it's one of those, you know, everybody kind of knows what it is. Mm-hmm. Some know it intimately, and most of us, yeah, we know what it is, and move on. As a supervisor, do you get down to the ground level? Do you get involved with this stuff? Can you push agenda or benefits, I guess, into something like the foster care system?
Yeah, it's one of our bigger things that our social services does is the foster care system. And, you know, I probably am a little more in the weeds than other supervisors because I typically go to the appreciation lunch they have for all the foster parents. And I've got a connection because my family did foster care when I was growing up. And so I'm pretty intimate with it and have stories of, you know, the kids that we had and the kids that I still stay in touch with. And, you know, it's pretty emotional for me because it's, you know, it was a big part of my childhood. And, you know, it's been a run of the gamut of, you know, some of the kids that we had have gone to college and have families and are doing really well, to some of them have passed away from overdoses. And, you know, they had kids and, you know, their kids still stay in touch, but it's, you know, from.
So the kids of the kids
are
in contact with you. That's kind of cool that they thought that much, that they wanted to reach out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've gotten an email from one of them that, you know, said how much our family meant to them and that, you know, how much they appreciated us just treating them like brother and sisters. And it's, you know, at the time you don't really think about any of that thing, but they're just kind of, they're there and they're
here,
with the rest of the family. Yeah. But, yeah, so there's been some real success stories and then there's been some really sad stories too. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's really, really rewarding once you get through it. And
well, that's probably typical of a foster care experience, isn't it? That there are some that are considered victories and some that are considered losses, and you know, it just is.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. And it's, you know, in Humboldt, we have a really big shortage of foster care families, and you know, they're always looking for more. And you know, if there's people out there that could open their home, I know that they'll get a lot out of it. And you know, I think they'll probably tell them it's not going to be easy, you know, because you're dealing with some pretty serious circumstances with, you know, someone gets removed from their home, there's something negative that has happened, and that child is usually affected pretty deeply by it. But you could be that family that's the rock for them, that, you know, that they always look back to as something stable, and it can really put them on a whole different path.
Is it a shortage of families, or is it an over demand of the number of kids that are in situations that need that support?
So I think it's probably both. There's, you know, there's always, you know, we did drop down in homes there for a while. We've made a little bit of a comeback in the last couple of years. That we're really focusing on what do these families need? How do we support them? How do we make sure that they get the needs and services that are out there, and make sure that they can, that we can do everything we can to help that family with the kids that they have. And you know, what goes along with that is some kids have a lot more needs than other kids, you know, and make sure that those families with the more needs are getting appropriate services from the county. And so doing a better job at that gives
Do a lot of the foster care families, Ryan, need the basic stuff? I mean, clothing, beds. I mean, that just mm-hmm. the normal, regular stuff. Not necessarily medical or mental or any, just mm-hmm. stuff to yeah. help out the kids. You know, the heart's there. Maybe the pocketbook isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Dale Maples is actually part of a nonprofit organization. I wish I could remember the name of it right now. But they take in beds and clothes and bottles and different items people donate and then give them out to families that need them. Because, yeah, I mean, you think about it. If you took in a child right now, you don't have all that stuff anymore from when your kids were there. And mine's only 11, and we don't have any of that stuff either. So,
yeah, the jammies with the feet. It kind of went out of fashion a while ago.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to need a bunch of a bunch of
Isn't
gear.
Isn't she saying prom dresses now?
No, we're not that old yet.
yeah. Not acting that way yet?
No, good enough.
Oh, congratulations, sir.
I'm dreading that, though. Thanks for bringing it up.
Well, let's just say my timing might be a little weak, mm-hmm. but yeah, it'll come to yeah. So there is an opportunity then for the community if they want to. I mean, mm-hmm. Toys for Tots gets a ton of support.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the toys are cool, but that's not talking about the day to day stuff. That's more the exceptional annual stuff.
Yeah, and someone's interested, they could call me. 476-2395, and I can get them as much information as they'd like, or they can call our social services division and they can help them out. But yeah, if someone's interested and just wants more information, I definitely suggest they call. Any of their supervisor would know how to steer them in the right direction,
but not necessarily in a live conversation.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg, talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Ryan, considering some of the different things that are out there, some of the different services that the county does provide, is there still a lot of misinformation, whether it's partial or whether it's maybe just misinterpreted, about some of the different social service programs that are out there?
Yeah, I think it's probably, it's hard to get all the information out there. And I like it the best when if someone hears something, they probably have part of the information, and then at least, give us a call and ask some questions. And if we don't have all the answers, we can go find it. And at least I tell people, if you're going to be mad, at least you're going to be mad on the correct information. And then, that's fair game then. But if you... I have some people who like to start, they get really upset about something and they've only heard part of the story. And it's like, well, let's get you all the information. And then if you're still mad, then we can talk.
They call Virginia.
here's her cell phone number. Yeah. One of the cool things, we just went to the RCRC conference, the Rural Communities Conference last week, Supervisor Bone and I, and they had... As part of the presentation, they had a foster care presentation, and they have some new technology websites that are out. And one of them was called iFoster, and it was a whole, a whole website dedicated. And they're a nonprofit, and it was all dedicated to helping families and the kids with, getting services that are out there. And one of them was for jobs, for life skills and resumes, and who who in the community would let them have a first interview, say, and part of the other places they're in, they had like a probably like 10 businesses that said, yes, we will take foster kids, and we'll put them at the front of the line for interviews. And one of them was like a grocery store, and they said they had like 20 of these kids had been at this grocery store, and they're all, you know, doing well, you know. And so it's it was a pretty cool website that we saw. I was impressed. The concept is neat.
It's kind of like with Dave Thomas, when he was still involved with Wendy's, and I know his daughter's doing for the adopted kids. I mean, just some, you know, everybody's got a special spot somewhere for somebody. It's neat that you can connect things up a little bit. Yeah. So is that something that the county was aware of before?
You know, I sent a note over to our staff, and I haven't heard back yet, but that's one of the things that we had, all of us had written down to follow up on and see if it was something that could work for Humboldt, you know. And you know, we've got programs for the transition age youth kids that are aging out of foster care, and there's really terrible numbers with what happens to those kids once, you know, how many of them go to college and how many of them have a job, however many of them are homeless, and I mean, really terrible numbers. And so any way that we could help bring those numbers up, we need to look into it. So
I wonder if CR would do something along those lines. I don't know if they could do a tuition waive.
Well, my experience is with especially with these kinds of projects, if you ask,
people say
yes. You know, it's like they want to help. You just have to find a way for them to be involved and give them an opportunity to say yes. You know, so I think this website that was on there, that's what they do, is they, you know, they get together and they go find all the places that'll say yes.
Now, is that under the Department of Health and Human Services? Would that be their umbrella?
It would be under their umbrella, yeah. Yeah, it would be a service that we would subscribe to, I think, is how it works. It's, you know, the department would, I think it's a subscription-based kind of thing, so you would sign up for the kid, and then the child would be able to go and access this. And one of the cool things, too, was like they had a locker that was in there, and it's protected. You know, so, and they would have a password that would get them into it, and so they could scan in family photos, their birth certificate, their, you know, any of their papers, and, you know, so they get moved around so much, so a lot of that stuff gets lost. And this is somewhere where they can always go back to it and access all that information, and if they lose it, they can go back and get it. And so the lady who runs that, it was at our conference, and she said that makes a huge difference. And so there was some good stuff there. I really liked it.
Yeah, kind of like a safe deposit box, so to speak.
Yeah, virtual safe deposit box, but it's protected. Cause they said some of the other, like the Google Share Drive things, and they named off a list of them, of ones that are not as protected.
You know,
you've got sensitive information on there. You need to have it protected. So they've got all that worked out. So I'm sure they've partnered with some pretty high-tech people that have helped them out.
That's cool.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:41. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, a couple of opportunities here to kind of clean things up. First, you got a new place to go walking.
Yeah, so in McKinleyville, it's behind Kmart, the movie theater, and HealthSport. There's a new trail system that opened up, and they did the grand opening of it on Sunday last week. And it's called the Chagacho Trail. Say that 10 times real fast. But the entrance to it is, if you go park in the movie theater parking lot in McKinleyville off of School Road, if you go to the back of it, then you can see the signs that say the entrance to the trail. And it's about I think it's 3/4 of a mile of trail that they put in there. That goes
so it's
through
a nice small little loop.
Yeah, little loops in there, and it's what the McKinneyville Land Trust has owned it for a long time. I can't even remember how long, but it's been more than 10 years. And one of their goals has been to develop it for trails through there. And what happened was when they did the Mad River Bridge, Caltrans had to do some mitigation work, and so they had to put money somewhere, and so this property drains into the Mad River, so they got a project out of it, and they got money to do this trail a couple of years ago, and so it really sped everything up. So, you know, they had money to do it, so they partnered.
If you have
with,
money, projects kind of happen.
Isn't that funny how that works? Yeah, so I mean, they had permitting, they had, you know, they had to go and look for grants other places, and they partnered with RCAA, and they partnered with the Boy Scouts. They put a really nice interpretive signage up, and the Boy Scouts did all that. I believe it was an Eagle project that they did. And so it just turned out really nice. So you can go walk through the forest. There's a little forest area, and then there's a kind of prairie area that overlooks. You can see Arcata, Eureka. It was clear day too last Sunday. It was beautiful, and you could see the smokestacks in Eureka, and then it's all panoramic views of the ocean. So it's really, they did a really good job.
The smokestacks?
Or the whatever it's called. What do you call it?
Not like the old days, man. Well, you could, yeah, okay,
yeah. Fine. I don't know if there's any smoke that comes out of it, but it's there. It smells a little different now.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Doesn't it?
My grandpa and my wife's grandpa were truck drivers, chip truck drivers, and you say that it smells like money.
Yep, yeah. Used to hear that at the Little League games all the time.
Yeah.
Quick question, clarification. There's been some discussion the last 3-4 weeks about the permit structure for the marijuana grows. You know, mm-hmm. The list was exposed, and everybody's getting excited or not excited, and that dust is starting to settle. But what I've been hearing is that it's cheaper in Humboldt County than the other counties to have the permits for marijuana grow. I guess it's medicinal now, but projected into the recreational if November goes in a certain fashion. Comment?
Yeah, so I haven't heard that, or I don't know what the other prices are, but what I can tell you is that when the Board of Supervisors met and we talked about the permit fees, we told staff that we wanted to have full cost recovery, which is the most you can have for that's legal. You know, you can't charge more for these fees than what it costs you, because then it turns into a tax, and then you have to have a vote of the people for a tax, right? So what we asked them to do is get full cost recovery, and our CAO is actually has a company that's doing a review of all of our fees for cannabis. And so what they're going to do is go through and figure out how much time it takes each person to do what they're doing on their permit, and then they're going to come back with a number. So right now it's kind of a guess. You know, we are guessing how much it's costing, and in just a short time here we'll have a more firm number of exactly what it's costing.
And those fees will go to offset?
Well, it offsets our staffing.
So like in planning, if let's say it's $100,000 and it's $100,000 per person, would you buy another position then in the planning department to be able to process mm-hmm. related and not impact the other guys?
Yeah, and what we've done is we've basically fronted the staff, and then these fees and then any taxes that we get if Measure S passes, that those will be able to backfill those positions.
What's Measure S?
The cannabis
school,
tax.
Oh, okay. It's not a school bond measure.
Yeah, the $1, $2, $3 tax that's on the ballot. So we need that to pass. So if you know anybody, tell them to vote yes.
Blue fish, red fish. Dr. Seuss all the way, man. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thanks for having me.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love. See you then.